Pope Benedict died on Saturday. His remains were lying in state for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They say that they were expecting about 30,000 people the first day, and there were 65,000. As of last night, there were over 200,000 people who had come to pay their respects to Pope Benedict in St. Peter's. And today is the day of his funeral, so I think, I don't know when they close the coffin and they prepare for the funeral, but that's probably happening. It's the middle of the night there in Rome. So anyway, today's the funeral day. It will take place at 9:30 in the morning, Rome time, which for us is 4:30 in the afternoon. That's why we're having this Mass as a kind of requiem Mass for Pope Benedict. Our hearts, like the hearts of the whole Church, is directed toward Rome and toward the passing of this former Pope and great leader. I learned last night that the Archdiocese of Manila has also announced they're having a special Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon. Cardinal Advíncula, together with the Papal Nuncio, Archbishop Brown, they're going to have a Mass in the Manila Cathedral tomorrow afternoon. So that's, you could say, the national Mass in honor of Pope Benedict. This Mass here is the little honorable version of the same thing, to have a Mass in honor of Pope Benedict. It's a fitting thing to do. And I think it's important for us to realize that our participation in this Mass is greater, those who are here in person, than being able to watch a big Vatican liturgy or a big Manila Cathedral liturgy online. It's great to be able to join a Mass online, but it's much greater to be able to participate in a Mass in person, even if we're only a few people. To be here in person is to participate fully in the prayer of the Church, in the offering of Jesus Christ, and to be able to receive Holy Communion. It's part of that full participation. So that's what we're doing. Now, in Rome, the liturgical celebrations follow the traditional schedule. So in Rome, tomorrow is the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th. I think that's probably why they put the funeral today, because they're not going to have a funeral Mass for a Pope on the Feast of the Epiphany. But I find it significant because Epiphany is the celebration of the wise man finding the Lord. And if there was ever a wise man, Pope Benedict certainly qualifies. He had an extraordinary mind, one of the most brilliant men of our times, of the 20th century. Just an encyclopedic mind. He knew just about everything there was to know in relation to the Church. And this is part of his greatness. And then he put that extraordinary gift fully at the service of Jesus Christ. That's why you could call him one of the Magi. And you could say, here he is on the day of his funeral. He's coming to the end of his pilgrimage to meet the Lord. It's a beautiful timing. If you follow the media at all, you know that there has been an absolute avalanche of articles and commentaries on Pope Benedict. In the Catholic media, generally glowing praise of this great man. In the secular media, a little bit more controversial. Of course, they love to come up with criticisms. And nobody's perfect, and you could always find flaws. But in this avalanche of words about Pope Benedict, it seems that everybody finds in him what they themselves think is important. And that's because he has, well, first of all, he wrote dozens of books. Even before he became Pope, he had already generated a huge volume of theological commentary. So people who love the liturgy say, oh, Pope Benedict, he was an expert in liturgy. People who are biblical scholars say, oh, Pope Benedict, he was a great biblical scholar. The theologians say, he was a great theologian. The people who were concerned about doctrinal issues say, he was a great thinker on doctrinal issues. And so pretty much everybody has their comments about him, and they're all true. He's an expert in so many areas, and he could sit down, as you know from those book-length interviews, he could sit down without any notes or any preparation and answer fully in 4 or 5 languages, in full paragraphs, answers to any question. So this is Pope Benedict. Now, in the funeral mass that will take place today in Rome, they chose special readings. I didn't pay close enough attention to that. We could have used them ourselves for this mass, but as it turns out, we used the mass for Thursday before Epiphany, January 5. And it's the gospel about Jesus' encounter with Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael, who is described as a true child of Israel, a man with no duplicity. Nathanael had this blunt, straightforward transparency. He just said what was in his mind. I think Pope Benedict didn't have that kind of roughness, but you could use this terminology to describe him. He was a true child of the church, and he had no duplicity. Pope Benedict, in that sense, is a Nathanael, although he's a gentle version, maybe a more refined version of a Nathanael. In today's first reading, we again read from the first letter of St. John, and John speaks about the call of a disciple, which will always generate opposition from the world. Do not be amazed then if the world hates you. And the world hated Pope Benedict. It still seems to hate him in some ways. But he says, we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Some lines from this first reading also seem to apply to Pope Benedict. I'll just take this one. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. To love in deed and in truth was one of the goals of Pope Benedict. The motto he chose as a bishop was cooperators with the truth. Cooperators with the truth. He wanted to join other believers in the effort to proclaim the truth in love, the truth of the gospel. So not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Then at the end of this reading, John speaks about the assurance that comes from knowing God. This is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. So no matter what we may have done wrong, whatever our conscience might be troubled about, God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God. Well, this points to the approach of a believer or a believer's attitude as he approaches the seat of judgment before God. We're all sinners. And so naturally we have our own conscience convicts us of our sin. But God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. He knows our sin, but he also knows when we're repentant. And he knows more than anything his own overwhelming love and mercy for us. I mention this because one of the fields of specialization that Pope Benedict, as a theologian, dwelt on was the whole theological question of death and the afterlife. Maybe people don't know this about him, but before he was ever chosen for a Vatican office, he was already a world-renowned theologian on this area of theology. The technical term for it is eschatology, the study of the next life, what happens after death. So this is one of Pope Benedict's fields of expertise. And I have a book in my library, Eschatology, written by Cardinal Ratzinger when he was just Father Ratzinger. I picked it up yesterday thinking I could get some good ideas for today's Mass. Way too complicated for a homily. But I picked out this short quotation from Pope Benedict. This is not from his work on eschatology, study of the things after death. But this comes from a letter that Pope Benedict wrote just last year, in fact, less than a year ago, February of 2022. The Diocese of Munich, where he was a bishop for some time, was going through this reevaluation of how they dealt with the sexual abuse cases. And so Pope Benedict also had to be questioned, what was he doing during the years when he was bishop there? And that, there was all kinds of accusations, and he made a very clear statement about everything he did. He had, I think it was an 80-page response to the questions. But there were still some controversies. So he wrote this letter to address the controversies. And at the end of the letter, he says this. Now, this is Pope Benedict. Just last year, he was 94 when he wrote this. He died at age 95. "Quite soon, I shall find myself before the final judge of my life. Even though, as I look back on my long life, I have great reason for fear and trembling, I am nonetheless of good cheer, for I trust firmly that the Lord is not only the just judge, but also the friend and brother who himself has already suffered for my shortcomings, and is thus also my advocate, my paraclete." So here's an expert in the theology of the last things, applying to himself as he approaches the judgment day. He says, I have reason for fear and trembling. We all do. We all do. And yet, he says, I'm of good cheer. I'm happy to go toward my judge because he's my friend and brother. He has suffered for me. Now, this is what he says, the rest of his statement. "In light of the hour of judgment, the grace of being a Christian becomes all the more clear to me. It grants me knowledge and indeed friendship with the judge of my life, and thus allows me to pass confidently through the dark door of death. In this regard, I am constantly reminded of what John tells us at the beginning of the Apocalypse. He sees the Son of Man in all his grandeur and falls at his feet as though dead. Yet he," meaning the Lord, the Son of Man, "placing his right hand on him, says to him, 'Do not be afraid, it is I.'" Book of Revelation, chapter 1. See the Son of Man fall down as though dead. The Son of Man reaches out, puts his right hand on the man who has died, and says, "Do not be afraid, it is I." Beautiful reflection, and I think a fitting way to honor Pope Benedict, who has been such an important figure in the world, in the world of ideas, certainly in the world of culture, but especially in the church, and even in our own life in the Anuam community, how much Pope Benedict has influenced and guided us. So as he passes confidently through the dark door of death, we entrust him to the mercy of God with gratitude and with confidence in God's mercy.